So good to have all of you online and have you here in the congregation. And Gina and I have some very special folks from, we do a Tuesday night Bible study at Christ Methodist down on Main Street, and got some of the most wonderful folks. And if you don't have anything to do on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, we'd love to have you. We just teach the word for about an hour or so and go home. And these are wonderful, wonderful people. Some of them are here, and we're so glad you guys are here. Thank you for coming. I want us to get in the Word together. Would you take your Bible, first of all, and go to Luke chapter 4 and put your finger there. We're going to get back there, so that won't take you long to get there. But Luke chapter 4, and then go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to look at a couple of verses, because I think what I think God wants us to do is open our eyes to see who we are. Well, let me just say this. God is one God, and yet he's a trichotomy. He is God our Father, God our Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the interesting thing, back in the Old Covenant, under the ministry of Moses, God said, Moses, build me a place where I can come and dwell among my people. So, and build it according, it's interesting that the scripture says this, and build it according to pattern. You build it the way that I tell you, okay? And interesting, it had an outer court, inner court, and holy of holies. Again, the trichotomy, the outer court is our body, the inner court is our soul, and the holy of holies is our spirit. Interesting. And then the Apostle Paul comes along with the gospel in 1 Thessalonians 5. And I want to look at it with you for a minute. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to pick out a word or two that introduces what I want to talk to you about. First of all is the word sanctify. I pray the God of peace himself, okay? Sanctify simply means what God is up to finish the process, okay? It simply means completing us unto blamelessness. And then the word completely reminds me of God as leaving nothing undone. So God's working on all of us to complete us into what he wanted us to be before sin came. But then this is what fires me up when I look at spirit, soul, and body. Now, when I look out at you and when I look in the mirror in our bathroom at home, what I see in the mirror is not me, it's just where I live. Because the Bible said we are spirit, soul, and body. Okay, we have a body, obviously. I reckon everybody here's got one. And you only get one while you're here. You get another one in another dimension. But anyway, we have who we are living in our body. And inside our body is what the Bible calls a soul. A soul is made up of your mind, how you think, your will, and your emotion. Three things. That constitutes your heart. Your heart is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so that lives inside of me. And then inside of all of us is our spirit. And without that, we would not have the ability to know God. So when we got saved, then our spirit was totally, absolutely healed. And one day, our body, and we're still being healed here, but one day, this body will be changed to a supernatural body. But then you have that mind, will, and emotion, soul dimension that God's working on. And that's where the heart is. And when Jesus got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and came up out of the Jordan, as you would know, came up out of the Jordan and was, as he came up, was centered in his heart by the Father's affirmation, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We need to hear that. And so, and then the Bible said he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, 40 days in the wilderness. The devil did everything to get him off track. But then the Bible says he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the second Adam won the deal. The devil could not get to the second Adam. At every point, Jesus answered where there needed to be that answer. This is what the Word says. This is what the Word says. And then he comes out in the power of the Spirit, and then comes to the synagogue, and in Luke chapter 4, they hand him the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, which you would know. May I read it and then refer back to it? The Spirit of the Lord, they handed it to him. Now let me just stop here. When the priest read the word, or the rabbis read the word, they stood. When they preached or shared the word, they sat. It's interesting enough that in verse 16, when they handed him the book of Isaiah, verse 16, what did he do? He stood up. He stood up and read it. And then when he finished reading it, what did he do? He sat down. Woo! He sat down, and then in verse 20, he closed the book after sitting down. Then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Let me translate that in Lauderdale. "Boys, I've come to finish the deal." And this is what he did. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set," and I love this, "he has sent me to preach," let me start over, "he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim," and I love this, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Well, when I look at that, I go, okay, there is something here that I missed. And just within, I don't know how long it's been, but just in the last few months, I saw something I'd never seen. I want to share it with you. First of all, interesting enough that Jesus takes the book of Isaiah and reads it, and he declares, "What's upon me is the Spirit of the Lord." What's the second thing he said? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I am sent now to preach the gospel." The greatest message you'll ever hear is the gospel. The greatest thing that'll ever happen to you is that you believe what you hear, the gospel. Because when you read in the Bible the word "hear" or "heard," it doesn't mean just a sound. Like you're hearing a sound come from me. It means I heard it, and I heard what was said, and I believed it, and when I did, I got in on it. That's what the Bible says. "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." So Jesus is now giving us this incredible insight that now he said, "I've been sent to preach the gospel." But how many of you know the first was the preaching of the gospel? When you hear, and you hear not a sound only, but when you hear the gospel, when you hear the gospel, then you're now in a position to have your broken heart healed. The first thing, after hearing the gospel, come on now, I'm going to look at this. The first thing that Jesus said after the preaching of the gospel was healing the broken heart. Now, it fires me up just reading it. "He has sent me to heal the broken heart." I mean, when you get a healed, broken heart, you begin to get free from what has had you captured. That's the second, the next one. And then guess what? You begin to see light like you've never seen. The recovery of sight to the blind. That is not literal, physical. I think it's spiritual. How many of you know that one day you turn the light on, you go, well, I didn't know that was there. I didn't understand that. How many of you have been reading the Bible and you go, whoa, honey, look here. She didn't get it, but you did. All of a sudden, what's happened? There's light on it. There's light. It's real to you. You're not blind to it anymore. Jesus said, when you hear the gospel, you can get healed on the inside. You can get free. You can get light for revelation. You can be set at liberty. Those who are crushed are oppressed. And guess what? Jesus said, I came to give you the acceptable year of the Lord. That's just the beginning of good news. So when I look at this, then I ask myself some questions. First of all, so how do you get a broken heart? Because a broken heart is real. If we couldn't have a broken heart, Jesus wouldn't heal it. How could he heal what we didn't have? He said, I am sent to heal the brokenhearted. So my question is, so how do we get a broken heart? Well, first of all, the biggie is, what didn't happen to you? What didn't happen to you? And basically, what's centered around that one question, what didn't happen to you and me, is the word disappointment. Disappointment is an incredible thing. We've all experienced it, some at different levels, but disappointment does something for us. You know what? It will break your heart. Let me read you a scripture. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred or prolonged or delayed makes the heart sick. Isn't that amazing? But then when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. When the broken heart gets healed, guess what? It's like a tree of life. It's like what was in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? God put a tree in the middle of it and they could eat of it and live forever. And when you and I get our heart healed from disappointment, when you get a healed heart from disappointment, guess what? You start drinking of living water that refreshes the entire being. Jesus didn't come just to get you to heaven. No, that he did. But if he just came to get us to heaven, why don't we have us a claw hammer down here? When you come and get saved, we just knock you in the head and have a funeral. Now, we laugh at that because it's ridiculous. But Jesus did come to get us to heaven. We know that. But have you didn't know there's a lot of walking between here and heaven? Come on now. There's a lot of living between here and heaven. So Jesus didn't come just to get me to heaven. That's his reward at the end. Jesus came to live in you, in me, and live his life through you. Amen? And we all got these broken pieces like Humpty Dumpty, you know? We all got that. We've gotten disappointment. We've done this and we've done that. But can I give you some good news? It doesn't matter what didn't happen to you. I've come to bring you some good news. Jesus Christ stood in the synagogue and read the eternal word and said, it doesn't matter what didn't happen to you. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. You can leave. Come on now. You can leave this sanctuary this morning without a broken heart. Bless God. You don't have to carry a broken heart. Well, I mean, you know, preacher, that's just part of it. I know it's part of it, but it's a part I don't have to live with. Jesus came to heal the broken heart because of what didn't happen to so many of us. So all of our life is chunk full of what didn't happen. Well, I was hoping, but, and there it is. But let's go further. What didn't happen, but what did happen? You know, what did happen to us is, I know you've never had any wrong choices, but like it or not, choices I can make, consequences I can't. I mean, I can stand up on this stage and go, I believe I can jump from here to the front row. I can choose that. Y'all come see me in the doctor's office, you know. I can't choose the consequence. You understand? So life is that way. And sometimes I looked in the mirror and go, Lord Jesus, why did I do that? Because when it hurts so bad, you wonder why you did it. But when you thought you was going to enjoy it, it didn't turn out that way. Wrong choices have consequences. Come on now. And we live in a fallen world. We're not there yet. Wrong choices. But, you know, there's some things you can't help. I mean, for instance, you can't help who you are. Now, some Christian people think they're going to change it, but they're not going to change it. I mean, there's women think they're men and men. I mean, now, come on. That's insane anyway. It's ridiculous. God made a woman. God made a man. God hasn't changed his mind. If he does, he'll let us know. Don't get all in some of this goofy land and think that God, well, you know, there's a number of genders. No, that's insane land. You don't want to camp there. You belong to the redeemed. Hallelujah. And so, but you can't help who you are. You are who you are. You can't help where you were born. I mean, come on now. You didn't have a choice. When I got here, I didn't look around and go, I didn't want to be born here. I couldn't help where I was born, and I can't help how I was raised. I mean, some of you had bad situations. I was fortunate and blessed to have a wonderful mom and dad. So did June. I had a wonderful mom and dad. We were blessed, but not everybody is. So some things you can't help, but that don't keep those from breaking your heart. One of the strongest, most powerful things that can happen to any of us is one word called rejection. Rejection has a pain in it undescribable. I was 10 years old, and my first cousin and another friend of mine, we got into some mischief. Things we shouldn't have done. And I thought it was no big deal. 10-year-old, what's the deal? And one of those other guys told on us. To this day, I don't know who he was. But I forgive him in the name of Jesus. So anyway. So one of those guys told on us, and so Daddy found it out. So I came in from school that day, and I remember as if it happened this morning. But I have to tell you, the pain is gone. I walked in there in the living room where Mom and Dad were sitting, and Dad said, son, I know what you did. You know what he said to me? I didn't know I had a son that would do that. I'm 10 years old. When he said that to me, and I'm 85 years old, that was the worst pain I'd ever felt in my entire life. I've never felt that level of pain before or since. I thought my 10-year-old heart would explode. I remember going out on the back porch and crying my eyes out because my father had said, I didn't know I had a son would do that. Little did I know that one day on a cross, I didn't know, but one day on a cross, my Lord and your Lord would look at his father and go, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because, come on now, when he said that, he was taking the pain that I felt as a 10-year-old boy. You can't go through anything he hadn't been through. Anytime you get in a mess, just look around at the footsteps, and you'll find some step walking right out of it. Sitting in a counseling room with a lady that was overcome with rejection. I'm telling you, I don't even want to get into ages, but she was a mature lady. And so I'm sitting with her along with some more counselors, and they're not getting anywhere. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what let's do. Just close your eyes. And would you just get a picture of your mom pregnant with you? And I said, when you do, just shake your head at me. And the minute she went, I said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to, now listen to me. We're going to invite Jesus into the picture and see what he's got to say. And you know, Jesus is down. Come on now. You know, did you know that you can invite Jesus into your yesterday and he'll heal your now? And so I'm just sitting here. We're not shouting and not trying to convince her or work up some emotion. I said, well, let's invite Jesus in. Let's just say you're we see what he does. And I waited, and a minute she went. I said, is he there? She said, he is. In a minute, she just, like she exploded. Tears gushed out of her eyes, running down her cheeks. We don't know what's happened. And I said, what's going on? She said, he's got his hand on Mama's tummy. And when she saw that rejection died. And when she dried those tears, her broken heart was gone, because that's what he was sent to do. Rejection is a strong thing. Come on now, I'm going to tell you, it's powerful. There's people who live with it all the time because they feel rejected. You know the beauty of Jesus is that he loves us, and you know, he took rejection so they didn't have to. If the whole world don't like you, guess what? I know somebody does. It don't matter. I mean, you know, we all want to be liked. I mean, I don't know if anybody running around saying, I don't want nobody to like me. No, we want people to like us. But don't be controlled. When you feel rejection, remember, he took it for you, and he'll heal you of it. Does that make sense? If it does, say amen. I need to hear from you. Yes, rejection is a powerful, powerful thing. It's what can happen to us. Now let me deal with another question. What will happen if I don't deal with that brokenness in my heart? What's going to happen? And I found this scripture, and I don't have time because I don't want to leave you here all day, but I found this scripture in Psalm 69, verse 19 and 20, just to the psalmist sees Jesus on the cross, and he describes, he puts a circle around it, and he begins to describe what's happening to Jesus on the cross. The beauty of it all, he starts using words that we all relate to. How do you like the word? I don't want to go there. Psalm 68, 19, 20. The word reproach. It says that he felt reproach. He took reproach. And then what about the word shame? Let me tell you. Confess that to the Lord, put the shame underfoot, and walk out of here a free man or woman. Shame. What about he used the word in that psalm. All of these are in that psalm. He used the word reproach. He used the word shame. He used the word dishonor. Dishonor. You know, he used the word a spirit of heaviness. He used the word a loss of hope. He said, I looked for help and couldn't find any. All of that was on the cross. He was taking that for you. So that here this morning, here we are. And there's all kinds. I mean, you know, we got all kinds of testimonies. But inside that heart, in that soul, is brokenness. And like that little puppy I had, we live out of that brokenness if we aren't, and it will affect everything about us. I have this little puppy. I mean, I don't know. I'm 8 weeks old. I like animals like that. So I love this little old puppy, and I don't know what kind it was back. You know, I didn't care as a dog. I mean, I don't look at flavors. Is that a dog? I like dogs. I mean, you know, so it was a dog. And I liked it. I mean, we had fun together and played together, and he'd want me to rub him, and you know, dog. So I fell in love with him. And he fell in love with me. Wherever I was, he wanted to be. And one day he ran out in our neighborhood, ran out from a car, got hit. So I went out, obviously, to try to help him. He's laying in the road, and I went out and touched him, and he bit me. Now, come on now. But I thought he loved me. No, the pain was bigger than the love he had for you. And people with broken hearts will live out of that pain for people they love and do things with them they wouldn't do if the pain wasn't there. So, that's what'll happen. It don't get better until you deal with it. We're going to talk about in just a minute what to do with it. Well, let's get on the pot. What can happen? I mean, for all of us. I don't know how many broken hearts are here, but I guarantee you, it's a lot of us with a broken heart. What didn't happen, what did happen, what will happen if we don't do something about it, but what can happen if we're willing here this morning? Well, I found these in the Bible, and I love them, and the psalmist said it like this, 147:3, this is what he says. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Do you ever notice that a little kid, child, two-year-old, three-year-old, when they get hurt, they run to love and grace. They don't run to somebody to get it. They don't run to dad and say, whip me, whip me, whip me. You know, they're looking for something to heal what's going on inside of them. Can I tell you, I found that he heals the brokenhearted. He does that. He wants to do that. And then I found this one in Psalm 34:18, and I love it. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart. And he sent me to heal that broken heart. There it is. The poor healing into that heart and make it whole. And my goodness, how could I pass it up? Well, let me tell you, we substitute it often. Well, bless God, I'll just suck it up. Huh? Suck it up. You know, when you suck it up and you breathe out, it's still there. I've sucked it up too many times. Bless God, I'll just make it by myself. 2 days later, Lord, I sure wish you'd help me. He said, I tried to and you wouldn't let me. So what in the world, how in the world can you deal with things that have happened in my life that have created a broken heart? How can I deal with that? And I got the answer. God gave me the answer. And I want to tell it to you. Here's what you can do. All you have to do this morning. He's already done it for you. He died to heal your heart. He died to forgive your sins. Aren't you, come on now. Let's just preach a minute here. Aren't you glad when he said at the cross, he wasn't kidding? When he said, it is finished, it is teleos. When he said, it's finished, he wasn't kidding. He didn't. When he said, it's finished, but I'm going to need you. No. He don't need me. He loves me and wants to engage me. When he said, it's finished, let me give you some good news. We have a finished salvation. We don't need anybody to make it what it is. Jesus has finished it. Hallelujah. Isn't that the good news? I mean, come on now. Well, can you imagine what heaven was, when he said it's finished, I don't know what heaven was doing, but I kind of think they were applauding. Put him behind that tomb. You would have, as I see it, as I would have been looking, living in Jerusalem and seeing all of that behind the tomb. Well, for whatever it's worth, there was a big stone there, but there's some things going on. The Bible says he descended into the lower parts in the spirit realm. Come on now. And took the keys of death hell and the grave from the devil. Come on, is that not what the Bible says? God, you know, I've said this before, and this is my sanctified imagination. I can just see, because the only one that ever threatened his kingdom, the devil's kingdom, was this man from Galilee named Jesus. But they connived and got him crucified. Cost them 30 pieces of silver. But the man that took the silver, it cost him his life. And now, the man behind the rock is doing something in the underworld. And I can see him when he got to Hades, when the demons of hell said, "Sir, there's somebody coming. Can't be, we got rid of him." But the demon said, "But sir, the footsteps are getting heavy." And he kicked the door of Hades open, walked into the devil himself, and the devil had to bow his knee. Jesus walks over and gets the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And on resurrection morning, this is what he said: "Here they are, boys. I've conquered death for you." Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. I mean, come on now. And then on the third day, aren't you glad on Sunday morning when they went to anoint a dead body, the angel said, "Excuse my English, he ain't here." He's risen. Praise God. Aren't you glad? He ain't here. You know what I love about that? Is this brokenhearted thing Mary Magdalene, she was there, and let me put it in my words. "Mary, you've seen, don't touch me because I've not yet ascended," because he had to go sprinkle, come on now, the eternal tabernacle in the heavens with his own blood, because he told Thomas, "Touch me." So between Thomas and Mary, there was a finishing. But he said, "Mary, there's an old boy out there. He knows how to cuss. He knows how to reject. He knows how to deny. Go out there and tell him the tomb is empty." Can you imagine? I don't know how she found him. Somebody said, "I know where Peter is." Can you see old Peter? He's leaning down by a rock somewhere, crying his eyes out. "Oh, I've messed up, Peter. Peter. Oh, leave me alone. You don't know what to do. Peter, I've got a word for you. The tomb is empty." "And the devil is defeated." Can't you see that? Oh, Lord Jesus. And I can see old Peter and one of the other disciples, they go running to the sea. They go running into the tomb. Peter goes in, and I mean, it's all, don't you find it amazing when he got in there, the wrappings is like a cocoon. He slipped out of them. And then over here was that was across his face. The napkin is folded, laying here. Peter knew exactly what it was. When the carpenter left the shop in the evening, he folded his apron and laid and said, "I'll be back in the morning." The Son of God left a signal. "I'm gone, but I'm coming back one day. Here's the indication." So you see this broken-hearted man. I mean, come on now. See what God did with him. And so here's what we need to do. Excuse me. I'm getting emotional. Hallelujah. If I could cry about watching something on TV... Little House on the Prairie, you just get me. Then I switched to Gunsmoke. I don't cry over Gunsmoke. So. Here, it's so simple. religion will get you tangled up, but it's so simple. So here's what do we do, Brother Doc? Number one, turn it loose. That's all you have to do. Turn it loose. You know, I've told you this. The best illustration I know is the little boy that got his hand caught in the expensive vase. And mama either had to break the vase, couldn't get him free. Poured oil around him and couldn't get him. Finally, dawned on mama. Let me ask you, son. Have you got something in your hands? What have you got in your hand? He said, a penny. She said, son, if you'll turn it loose, you can get free. She said, I heard the penny drop. Cling. And that little hand slid out. Now I got a word for you. Turn it loose. Let God hear the penny drop this morning. And you'll walk out of here going, well, glory to God, I didn't know it was going to be this good. That makes sense. So you have to turn it. Come on, I have a word for you. Haven't you carried it long enough? Haven't you actually carried it to the point that you think it's part of your life? Now let me say this to you. God does not give you shock treatments to get rid of your memory. You understand that? He doesn't do that. Here's what God does do. He heals your memory and you can still remember, but don't hurt no more. That's healing the broken heart. Oh, I can still remember. I can still remember my dad that day when he said that to me. But guess what? It don't hurt. Not at all. I can tell you this. God wants to heal yours so that you can remember, but it don't hurt. So you turn it loose. Let God hear the penny drop in the jar. And watch what happens. Second thing, forgive. I mean, you go, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But he does. And here's the misunderstanding. If you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean you condone what they did. What if God played that game? And I went to God and go, forgive me. He said, I can't. I don't like what you did. Forgive because we've been forgiven. So what do? We forgive. I choose to. Forgiving is not an emotion. It's a choice. I choose to forgive. You know, I said one day, as far as I know, I don't know of anybody I'm mad at. They couldn't believe it. You mean there ain't nobody you mad at? Why do I have to be mad at somebody? Come on now. See, we get into a cultural thing to think that's the way it's supposed to be. It is not supposed to be that way. Jesus wants to heal my heart and yours. He wants me to be free. He wants me not to carry unforgiveness. And then watch this. Once you turn that penny loose, once you're willing to forgive, watch this, then you have a promise. I will do it. I will heal you. Do you want me to say it again? He's been sent to heal the brokenhearted. He wasn't kidding. Thank you, Jesus. That's to me simple. And you know, why don't we this morning, as a congregation, it don't matter where you go to church, or that's not the point. The point is, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you, don't walk out the door till you come, let somebody pray with you. But if you know Jesus, don't walk out that door in the name of Jesus. Not one of you walk out that door with a broken heart, because the love of God and the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is present to heal the brokenhearted. If you will turn it loose, forgive if you need to, and then claim the promise. I promise you, I have a word from God. He will heal you. Can somebody shout amen? Come on, somebody ought to shout amen that God is good enough to heal you. Amen. He's good enough to do it and will do it, and for that we're eternally grateful. We're going to let him. So, I mean, I've prayed a lot about this, so I'm going to be different, okay? Here's how we're going to do this. We're going to anoint everybody in this building that wants to be healed of a broken heart. So, Andres, you guys want to come? Here's what we're going to do. Bow your head with me, please. Everybody in the house for a minute, bow your head with me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want us to be honest. I mean, you know, this is not for me. I don't get a percent of pay or something, but all I get out of this is knowing that, because you don't know how long I've prayed, just, Lord, at this moment, for this moment. And you're here and you go, Lord, the preacher talked about me. I know it. I need you to heal my heart. And I'm going to let you do it. I'm not coming to you. Nobody would embarrass you. But if you'd like for Jesus to heal your heart, will you put your hand up and put it back down? Put it up. Keep it up for a minute. Put your hand up. Put your hand up. I'd like for Jesus to heal my heart. All of it. Come on now. Ask the Lord if you've got a broken heart. Ask him. And then respond. Now let me tell you what the next thing, all of you, I mean, at least a third of the congregation. And I expected that the goodness of God is that way. When his love and presence is like it is here right now. If you lifted your hand or if you wanted to, you can engage yourself. First of all, would you turn that thing loose? I'm asking every one of you, I want you to turn it loose, whatever it is. Turn it loose. Like the little boy in the pen, turn it loose. Turn it loose. Go ahead, I'm going to give you a second. Turn it loose. Tell the Lord, Lord, I turn it loose today. You don't have to feel like it. Choose to do it. Now, if you need to forgive somebody right now, do it. Just tell the Lord. You don't have to feel good about that. You make a choice. I choose to forgive whatever it is. You might not need to. But if you do, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Give me that grace to forgive. And I choose forgiveness. Now, here's what's about to happen. You're about to receive a miracle. You're about to receive a miracle. And I promise you, the miracle you're about to receive will change your life. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to get the prayer team up here in just a minute. I'm going to just anoint you with oil. They're going to pray the prayer of faith to get you delivered. I mean, come on now. Is that not what he said he has sent me to do? It don't take a camp meeting prayer. It takes a prayer of agreement. Lord, you said I could be healed. Here it is. I received it. So, I don't know what else to do except the way I see it. So I'm going to come down and I'm going to stand here in this aisle. And if you want to be anointed and you want to be healed and you want to leave this sanctuary with a healed heart from whatever's happened, God only knows, we're human beings. I want you to come stand right here by Butch. I mean, just fill up the aisle. You come around here and say, I'm going to anoint you. Once I anoint you, prayer team, y'all come down front, if you will. And then once you are anointed, they're just going to agree with you, and you're going to be healed in the name of Jesus. So get up quickly. Let's don't I'm coming. Thank you, Lord.
You take the broken hearted and you make them whole. You're a miracle.
Everybody just get in this aisle down here. Everybody get in that aisle if you don't care. I got something right here. Thank you. Everybody get in that aisle if you don't mind. Praise God. Give the Lord a God bless you for all these people. Would you do that? Put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus.
You are making heaven.
Come on.